Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, January 11th, 2024, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4, the great epistle on virtue love. First John chapter 4, and in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, that in your infinite virtue love, you designed Operation Grace, the cross, impersonal love for all mankind. And in that impersonal love for all mankind, you gave the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the procession of the Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas to take on true humanity, to go to a cross and solve the problem of sin for the whole world, so that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. You manifest to us what impersonal love for all is. The Lord Jesus Christ manifests to us what impersonal love for all is. And we thank you this evening that we have the opportunity of assembling in freedom to worship you through the study of your word, that we might grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue, love brought to completion in our hearts, that we might manifest impersonal love for all. And as we assemble to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 11. Beloved, royal family of God, if God so loved us, impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and he has so loved all mankind with impersonal love, then we also are obligated, ophelo, we are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. Verse 12. No one has ever seen God, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. We are living the spiritual life, and his love, virtue love, has been brought to completion in us, in our hearts. Verse 12 starts out, no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen the Father. No one has ever seen God, the Holy Spirit. And there's only one generation that saw God the Son. That was the generation of the Incarnation, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. The Incarnation of the Eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. And they were the only ones that saw God the Son. And then, now, none of us have seen God the Son. He's invisible to us as well. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's invisible to the world now too. So no one has ever seen God. The invisible God, however, has visible influence throughout the world. Invisible God has invisible influence through you, the church age believer, when you are living the spiritual life and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The invisible influence of impersonal love for all has great visible impact to those in your periphery, in the periphery of the spiritually mature believer. You cannot see God, but you can see His influence in that believer who is living the spiritual life and functions under impersonal love for all. Invisible God has provided a divine influence, the unique spiritual life of the church age, which is visible. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart results in fulfilling the royal family honor code. The virtues of Christ have been brought to completion and manifested in your life to others. The filling of the Spirit and consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, results in virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart develops personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. The power to live the spiritual life of the church age is the invisible God, the Holy Spirit. But the invisible influence of God, the Holy Spirit, and metabolized doctrine in your heart is visible to all those around you through the function of impersonal love for all. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, virtue love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And that is manifested in you and through you. Everywhere you go, whatever you're doing, in your family, in your marriage, at your job, whatever you're doing, maybe for some of you at the blackjack table or the crap table, maybe when you're out shopping, maybe when you're at a restaurant, when you walk in, there's a difference because the invisible God, the Holy Spirit, who indwells you, as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, which is The power. You see, the spiritual life is the supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. And that supernatural power is God, the Holy Spirit. Never any spiritual life before the church age. Never any universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There was no indwelling of the Holy Spirit before the church age. In the Old Testament, the endowment of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was beside the believer. But now in the church age, that invisible God, the Holy Spirit, indwells all of us as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. The power to live the spiritual life and the fruit of the Spirit. Well, God, the Holy Spirit is invisible, but the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in you and through you everywhere you go, all that you do. And that has very visible impact. So Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the invisible Spirit is virtue, love. Without the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, there is neither perception of Bible doctrine nor its visible influence and impact in impersonal love for all. Galatians 5:16 and 17. The greatest visible impact directed toward mankind is impersonal love for all, manifested in the life of the winner believer. Impersonal love for all is the visible manifestation of the invisible spiritual life. Impersonal love for all only exists in the believer living the spiritual life, not in the believer living out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system. That believer, you can't tell that believer from the unbeliever. They're both exactly the same. The believer living the spiritual life has unlimited opportunities to have visible impact through impersonal love for all. And this results in glorifying God to the maximum in the very short time that we are here on planet Earth. This is not our home. Our home is heaven. And we will be absent from this body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Impersonal love for all, then, is the greatest visible impact from the invisible God. However, believers who are not living the spiritual life but are living in the cosmic system, they have no visible impact. Believers who neglect the Word of God or reject the Word of God will never have the invisible become real to them. They will never know what it is to have personal love for God the Father. They will never know what it is to be occupied with Jesus Christ, to have Him make Himself at home in your heart. They will never know the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. And they will never have visible impact in the world. Now in 1 John 4, verses 13 to 21, in this paragraph we have the dynamics of the spiritual life. Verse 13 sounds like this. By this, impersonal love for all, we have come to know, to realize, that we are abiding in Him, menoing. We're living the spiritual life. And He abides in us because He has sent to us for our interest and our benefit His Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the universal indwelling of the invisible God, God the Holy Spirit, as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live the unique spiritual life. Turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 14. John 14. And the Lord Jesus Christ is having Bible class. And He's describing, now He is here, He is the only visible member of the Godhead. And He's describing this unique power, this indwelling of the Holy Spirit that is going to come. Going to come. Not, it's not there now because it wasn't the church age. Church age begins at Pentecost. So first of all, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, ascension, session. 10 days later, 50 days, that's Pentecost, church age began. Now, for the first time, the universal indwelling of the Spirit. So He starts out and He states, if you love Me, if you love Jesus Christ, if you love Me, Jesus Christ, you will obey what I command. Well, that's pretty powerful. That's 1 John. That means if you love Jesus Christ, you are obeying the mandates of the mind of Christ, the Word of God. If you love Me, you will obey My mandates, what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will, future, He will give you another parakletos. P-A-R-A-K-L, long E-T-O-S, parakletos. Parakletos means a helper, invisible God that will be the power for you to live a unique spiritual life and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And He will give you, not now, it's not the church age, in the future when the church age begins, Pentecost, He will give you another parakletos, helper, to be with you forever. This is my favorite title of God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Aletheia. A-L long E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. What's Aletheia? Absolute truth. Absolute truth. God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of absolute truth. The Spirit of doctrine. To be with you forever. The Spirit of Aletheia. The Spirit of absolute truth. Bible doctrine. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him. He's invisible. He is the invisible God. Nor do they know Him, but you know Him, for He lives beside you now, the endowment of the Spirit in the age of Israel. But He will be future Pentecost when the church age begins. He will be in you. And then look over at John 14, verse 25. All this I have taught while still with you. But the Parakletos, or the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, future, when the church age begins, Pentecost, in my name, he will teach you all things. The filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit enables you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And then over in John 15:26. John 15:26. When the Parakletos, the Helper, the invisible God, God the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send, will, future, when the church age begins at Pentecost, I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of Aletheia, the Spirit of absolute truth, Bible doctrine, who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. And then over in John 16, John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Aletheia, the Spirit of absolute truth, the Spirit of Bible doctrine comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And then 1 John 3:24. 1 John 3:24. In fact, the one who keeps, and the word keeps means who obeys, executes his mandates, keeps on minnowing in him, abiding in him, living the spiritual life. And also he, the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in him, making himself at home in the winner believer's heart. In fact, by this we have come to know that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is minnowing, abiding in us, has made himself at home in our hearts. How? By the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, whom he, the Father, has given to us for our spiritual benefit, because that's the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. We live in the greatest dispensation of all time. And it's sad to say, unfortunately today, we are in so much apostasy and degeneracy in America. Most Christians, you can't tell them from unbelievers. And we are in high speed trying to destroy ourselves as a client nation to God. We are. This morning, I always think I've seen degeneracy. I won't see it keep going. It's even worse. This morning, on Fox, I don't see look at a lot of my computer. But this takes the cake. Police. There were homeowners that were having their packages that are delivered stolen by criminals. Stolen off their, they're delivered right by the door, and then criminals come and they take it. So they put cameras and caught the criminals on camera and then called the police. And the police said, you can't invade their privacy. Criminals don't have privacy. The police told them, You homeowners, you can't invade the privacy of those people stealing your packages. You know, that's where we are. And that was from the police.
I mean, I said, Debbie, you're not going to believe this when I tell you.
And I have cameras. Well, I won't take pictures of these guys that do it. I'll go out and shoot them. Okay. One. Taking 1 John 3:24 and 1 John 4:13 together, it is clear that the Apostle John regards God the Holy Spirit as the person inside of us who can make evident the inward abiding of God, the reality of living the spiritual life. Taking 1 John 3:24 and 1 John 4:13 together, it is clear that the Apostle John regards God the Holy Spirit as the person inside of us who can make evident the inward abiding of God, the reality of living the spiritual life. Two, he does this by having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. He does this by having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. The invisible God living in us through the filling of the Spirit, being empowered by the Spirit, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Our personal love for God the Father motivates our impersonal love for all mankind. Three, since God is virtue love, since God is virtue love, and he revealed his impersonal love for all in Operation Grace, the cross, he commands us to have impersonal love for all. Since God is virtue love, and he revealed his impersonal love for the whole world, in Operation Grace, the cross, he commands us to have impersonal love for all. Four, this impersonal love for all can only be produced in us by the invisible God, God the Holy Spirit. This impersonal love for all can only be produced in us by the invisible God, God the Holy Spirit in us. Five, when this impersonal love for all is produced in us and through us to everyone in our periphery, the Holy Spirit is manifesting the reality of God abiding in us. When this impersonal love for all is produced in us, the Holy Spirit is manifesting the reality of God abiding in us. Six, that is to say, the living and true God, the God of virtue love, is loving all mankind through us. The living and true God, the God of virtue love, is loving all mankind through us, the winner believer, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Seven, when we manifest impersonal love for all, we can know that the living and true God is abiding in us, and we are living the spiritual life. When we manifest impersonal love for all, we can know that the living and true God is abiding in us, and we are living the spiritual life. So again, verse 13 says, by this impersonal love for all, we have come to know and realize that we are menoing, we are abiding in Him, we are living the spiritual life. And He, menos, abides in us because He has sent to us for our interest and benefit His Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. All right? Take a look at this again. One, impersonal love for all is the great demonstration that we are abiding in God and God is abiding in us. Impersonal love for all is the great demonstration that we are abiding in God, and God is abiding in us. Two, impersonal love for all is the overt manifestation that we are living the unique spiritual life of the church age, and that we have had virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. We have fulfilled the ultimate objective of why we are here. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Impersonal love for all is the overt manifestation that we are living the unique spiritual life of the church age and have had virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Three, the unique spiritual life of the church age is a gift from God the Father to the church age believer, the royal family of God. It was first of all a gift to Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union for Him to live the first unique spiritual life, and then He passed it on to each one of us. But the unique spiritual life of the church age is a gift from God the Father to us, royal family of God only. To us only. But why is it given to us? Why wasn't it given to others? Because we live in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. In the Old Testament, the attack was on the line of Christ, and then on Jesus Christ Himself. But now, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now the attack is on the body of Christ. For the first time, the satanic attack is on every believer. The intensified stage of the angelic conflict. So God the Father gave us a gift so that we don't all become casualties. We're living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. There are a lot of believers that are casualties, but they're there by their own bad decisions. They got a free will, but they use that free will to make bad decisions. Bad decisions, bad decisions, bad decisions. And, well, what are they doing? They're running out of options. And they will run out of options until we'll get to 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. They will run out of options to what all that's left is the sin unto death. And they do it by themselves. They do it all by themselves, by their own bad decisions. You're the product of your own free will, your own decisions. You can make good decisions. You make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You make good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You make good decisions to find a sound doctrinal church and take advantage of it. Get in there consistently, faithfully, and learn and believe and learn and believe and learn and believe and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. What do then? You increase your options. Your options are increased with greater and greater options and greater blessing. But you use your free will to make bad decisions, to reject the Word of God, to neglect the Word of God, to live out of fellowship with God by the sin nature, the lust patterns of the sin nature in Satan's cosmic system. Well, you just keep doing that and you will run out of options, and all that's left is the sin unto death. That's all that's left. And you do it yourself. Nobody else's fault. It's your fault. You have a free will. You can make good decisions or bad decisions. So the unique spiritual life of the church age is a gift from God the Father to the church age believer only. For the church age is the unique dispensation of human history. It is the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. This is the only dispensation where the attack from Satan is on every single believer. And you will be a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict if you are not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, making those good decisions. God has graced us out with this fantastic provision. 5. The spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural way of life. You can't do it by your own ability. It's not human energy of the flesh. It's the power of God the Holy Spirit. The spiritual life of the church age is a supernatural way of life, and therefore it demands a supernatural power for its execution. Supernatural power, the invisible God, God the Holy Spirit. 6. God the Holy Spirit is the divine power to live this unique spiritual life in this unique dispensation we are living in. Great dispensation. What? You live in the best, and you have been given the greatest and most phenomenal blessing, greater than any believer in the Old Testament ever received. 7. Since God the Holy Spirit is the divine power for this spiritual life, God has given us 4 mandates. First of all, in Ephesians 5:18, He has given all of us this mandate. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered in your life by God the Holy Spirit. That's a mandate. That's not an option. That's a command. Yes, sir. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is now our authority. We're under orders to Him. He's given us an order. This is an order for all of the members of the royal family. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, another mandate. Keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit. That is, live the spiritual walk. Live the spiritual walk by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. Third, Ephesians 4:30, a negative, a prohibition. Stop grieving the Spirit. A prohibition. Stop grieving the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Stop quenching the Spirit. Stop grieving the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. So since God, the Holy Spirit, is the divine power for this spiritual life, God has given us four mandates. You see, it is impossible to live the spiritual life if you are not filled with the Spirit. Now, we're all indwelt by the Spirit. You can never lose the indwelling of the Spirit. Even when you're living your life in Satan's cosmic system, you can't lose the indwelling of the Spirit. But you do lose the filling of the Spirit every time you sin. And therefore, the importance of the problem-solving device of rebound. Rebound. God's grace provision to get out of the cosmic system and get back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. I can still see I can't remember the name or individual, but this was years and years ago in prayer meeting, and somebody who was new and never been in prayer meeting before. And when it came to him, he said, "Father, thank you for rebound." I thought that's one of the best, most honest prayers I have heard from somebody. A lot of the others try to listen and imitate what everybody else is saying. But here, he's the first one. "Father, thank you for rebound." Now, we've had believers, too, sit in here, and before class, I would say, "All right, we're going to pray." And this is, if you're out of fellowship with God, this is where you can use rebound, get back into fellowship, make sure you're filled with the Spirit. And bless his heart, Rudy would sit back there and he would start confessing his sin and start naming people in the church. And I go, "Oh." And the people he was naming were going, "Oh." Rudy was, well, now he became a believer. What was he, in his 80s when he became a believer? What's that? Late 70s? Okay. And he came here, heard the gospel, believed in Jesus Christ. And then he was here all the time. He never missed. And God, the Holy Spirit, gave him the gift of evangelism. He had the gift of evangelism. He gave the gospel everywhere he went. He gave the gospel. Whether it was to a restaurant, whether getting his hair cut, wherever he went, he gave the gospel. And he also loved to go fishing. And so we did a lot of fishing together. 8. So if we love one another with impersonal love for all, this is the visible demonstration that the God, whom no one has seen, is abiding in us, and his virtue love has been brought to completion in our hearts. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life. So if we love one another with impersonal love for all, this is the visible demonstration that the God, whom no one has seen, is abiding in us, and his virtue love has been brought to completion in our hearts. So again, verse 13, by this impersonal love for all, we have come to know and realize that we are abiding in him, living the spiritual life. And he abides in us because he has sent to us for our interest and benefit his Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. Now we go on, verse 14. And we have seen and do testify. This is the conjunction chi plus the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the perfect middle indicative of the verb theaomai plus the conjunction chi repeated. So we have chi used twice here and used two different ways. The chi is used a second time with the present active indicative of martureo. So the conjunction chi is used twice in this verse, and it is used in two different ways. The first use of chi is an emphatic chi, and the second use of chi is a connective chi. The first use of chi is emphatic, and it may be translated indeed, verily, readily, in fact, certainly, and we will translate it indeed. Indeed, we, the personal pronoun ego, is also very emphatic. You don't have to have personal pronouns. So when they're included, they're very, very emphatic. You see, the subject is always associated in the verb, so you don't have to have a personal pronoun. When you add it, it's very, very emphatic in the Greek. No verse in the first epistle of John is more critical to understanding the entire epistle than this verse, 1 John 4:14. Clearly, the initial statement, indeed, we have seen that the Father has sent the Son. The we, the nominative plural of ego, refers to the apostles, as John declares in 1 John 1, 1-3. Turn over to 1 John 1. 1 John 1, 1-3. So we know that the we, first of all, applies to the apostles. First John 1, 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, that is the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, this we proclaim concerning the word of life, a special title of the Lord Jesus Christ. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was with the Father, face to face with the Father, and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So we know that, first of all, as we refers to the apostles, 1 John 1, 1-3. The crucial question for interpretation in this verse is exactly how wide the range of the personal pronoun ego, we, really is. Certainly, we refer to the apostles, 1 John 1, 1-4, 1 John 2:19, 1 John 3:14, 1 John 4:6. But in all of these passages, there is a contrasting you nearby. 1 John 1:3, 1 John 2:20, 1 John 3:13, 1 John 4:4. But that does not occur in our verse, 1 John 4:14. The subject ego, we, or us, which runs through this passage, begins in 1 John 4:7. Beloved, royal family, let us, ego, let us love one another with impersonal love for all. That the believers John is writing to are included in this we, that is without doubt. But the congregation is also included in chapter 4, verse 9, in the us and the we, in 4:9, in the we and the us and the our, in verse 10. In the us and the we in verse 11, in the we and the us in verse 12, in the we and the us in verse 13. So, there is no reason at all to suddenly change what we refers to in our verse, verse 14. So one, all the way through this passage, 1 John 4:7 to 1 John 4:14, John is including his congregation, the royal family, the students of this epistle. All the way through this passage, chapter 1 John 4:7 through 1 John 4:14, John is including his congregation, the royal family, his students of this epistle. Two, this is totally evident when we carefully consider what John is teaching. In verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. Yet, in verse 12, if we love one another with impersonal love for all, this unseen God abides in us and is demonstrated by the fact that virtue love had been brought to completion in our hearts. In verse 13, the power for living the unique spiritual life and manifesting impersonal love for all is the invisible God, the Holy Spirit. Three, our impersonal love for all, for one another, is nothing less than God the Father's impersonal love for the whole world. In Operation Grace, the cross. Our impersonal love for all, for one another, is nothing less than God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind in Operation Grace, the cross. Indeed, we have seen that the Father has sent the Son. That's our verse. Four, therefore, when we love one another with impersonal love for all, it is a re-display of God the Father's impersonal love for the world in Operation Grace, the cross. Therefore, when we love one another with impersonal love for all, it is a re-display of God the Father's impersonal love for the world in Operation Grace, the cross. Five, and that very redisplay, that very manifestation of impersonal love to all, is also a living testimony to the reality of God the Father's impersonal love to the world in sending His Son, Christ Jesus. And that redisplay, that manifestation of impersonal love for all, is also a living testimony to the reality of God the Father's impersonal love to the world in sending His Son, Christ Jesus. Turn over to John 13. John 13, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 13, John 13, 34 and 35. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. This is impersonal love for all. This is, can only be fulfilled if you first of all have developed personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Virtue, love, been brought to completion in your heart. So, corrected translation, indeed we, not just the apostles, but his congregation, the congregation with impersonal love for all. And then we have the verb theaomai. This is a unique verb, theaomai. 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 Now, theaomai means to see, to look at, to behold, to perceive. But this was a special verb that was used for watching Greek drama. In fact, it is from this Greek word that we get our English word theater. Theater comes from theaomai. The perfect tense is the intensive perfect. In the intensive perfect, the emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action or in a present state or condition resulting from a past action. The middle voice is deponent, that's middle in form but active in meaning. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this from the viewpoint of reality and certainty as absolute fact. And now we all have the second use of chi, which is the connective chi translated and. And then the verb martureo. Looks like that in the Greek, M-A-R-T-U-R-E, long O, martureo. Couple of things on martureo. One, it means to bear, literally, to bear witness or to be a witness. It literally means to bear witness or to be a witness. Two, it was used of someone who was a witness in court. Someone who was a witness in court. Three, it always refers to what is true and factual so that people have information on which to make a decision. It always refers to what is true and factual so that people have information on which to make a decision. Four, it expresses the result of seeing the Father's impersonal love for all, the world in Operation Grace. It expresses the result of seeing the Father's impersonal love for the world in Operation Grace the Cross. The present tense is an iterative present. The iterative present is the present tense of repeated action. The active voice, the believer living the spiritual life, having virtue love brought to completion in his heart, and manifesting impersonal love for all, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, seen from the viewpoint of reality. Indeed, we, apostles and congregation, believers living the spiritual life with impersonal love for all, we have seen and we bear witness that the Father sent the Son. Well, I'll give you the, we're not going to get this all in tonight. I'll give you verse 14, what it'll sound like. Indeed, we, apostles and believers living the spiritual life with impersonal love for all, we have seen and bear witness that the Father, God the Father, has sent the Son, His eternal Son, the greatest miracle the world will ever know on that first Christmas, the incarnation of the Son of God. Why? To be the Savior of the world. Indeed, we have seen and bear witness that the Father, God the Father, has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. Thank you, sir, for the privilege of assembling this evening, fellowshipping in your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.